Crusade of Kings. Henry III. The cavalcade of kings rides on with the cowardly figure of John skulking in the background. The 16 years of his reign had brought nothing but shame and misery upon his people, and he went to his grave unwept, unhonored, and unsung, leaving his son Henry, a boy of 9 years, to succeed him on the throne. It is now the year 1216, and we find the young Prince Henry and his mother, Queen Isabella, journeying by coach to Gloucester in company with the Earl of Pembroke and Hubert de Burgh.
My Lord Earl, are you certain we are on the highway to Gloucester? The day grows late, and we are still in these gloomy woods.
This is the road, Your Majesty. I know it well. Soon we will emerge into open country, and within an hour or so we will have arrived at our destination.
May the saints be praised.
Your Majesty is uneasy.
Yes, Hubert, in truth I am. These woods are so dark and foreboding, and I think I see sinister shadows lurking behind each tree.
All is well, lady.
God send you are right. For upon us depends the safety of the king.
My sword arm has not lost its cunning.
Nor mine.
Thank you, noble lord. I am at peace.
His highness still sleeps?
Yes, Hubert. He hasn't stirred since he crept into my arms when we changed horses at the last post, some 2 hours hence.
Then your majesty must be fatigued. Pray allow me to relieve you of your burden.
Nay, Hubert, I am not fatigued. He is so frail, so light a burden, and I would fain hold him in my arms whilst yet I may. Remember, in a few short hours I must give him up to his people.
Who will love him and serve him loyally.
With the memory of his father's crimes still fresh in their minds, I think not.
Henry cannot be blamed for his father's misrule.
My lord is right, Your Majesty. Have no fears. The people bear his highness no malice, and the pathetic helplessness of his tender years will appeal to the hearts of all Englishmen who are ever ready to defend the cause of the weak.
But what of the barons who called in Louis of France to oppose his father?
Madam, you will find that they too will accept Henry. And in a short while, Louis will find himself deserted and obliged to return to France.
I agree with you, my lord. His highness has the love and support of his people. God send that he has the wit and the wisdom not to abuse their loyalty.
Hubert, look! Look, there in front of us, about 100 yards down the road, behind those trees on the right. Four men are lurking.
Do not be alarmed, lady. They may be harmless woodsmen or charcoal burners.
They are evil ruffians who seek the life of your king. I know it. Tell the coachman to whip the horses so that we may drive past the danger quickly.
Whip up the horses.
Yes, my lord.
Spare the liver!
Take away
you! Arrow!
It's nearly found its mark in the body of your king. They'll bring down our horses next.
In God's name, Hubert, what are you going to do?
Jump out of the coach and encounter them, whilst you make your escape.
The odds are 4-1 against you, man.
The king's life is in danger. It's our only chance. Be ready to close the coach door after me. Now!
I feel alive!
Gloucester at last.
Heaven
see,
be
there is the
praised.
Palace.
Heaven be praised.
The barons are awaiting our arrival.
It is a gracious gesture to their king. Come, Henry. You must prepare to meet your lords.
I'm ready, Mother.
May I assist your majesty to alight?
Thank you, my lord. Come, my son.
Welcome, your majesty. The barons are pleased to greet you, noble lady, and your young prince. And you, my Lord Earl of Pembroke.
We thank you, friends.
But where is Hubert de Burgh? Surely he accompanied you?
Yes, he did. But we were set upon in the woods, some leagues back by 4 ruffians. Hubert jumped from the coach and encountered them single-handed whilst we made our escape. An ignoble condition for the Earl of Pembroke to run away from his enemies. But his highness was in danger, and there was no other way.
None could accuse you of cowardice, my lord. But we'll dispatch help to Hubert immediately. But wait, see, our horseman approaches. Tis Hubert.
Oh, tis Hubert, my friend, who saved my life. Thank God he's safe. I must run to meet him. Hubert! Hubert!
Ah, his highness is loyal to his friends. Tis a good omen.
Look, my lord. Hubert has drawn abreast of the prince. He stoops and lifts the child to his horse. Now he rides on towards us. May God reward him for the love he bears my fatherless boy.
Greetings, my friends.
Greetings, Hubert.
Greetings. Greetings. His Highness has a true friend and protector in you, Hubert de Burgh.
He has need of protection and friends. My lords, tomorrow we are to witness the solemn ceremony of the crowning of Henry as your king. I charge ye all as fair-minded men not to hold this innocent child responsible for his father's misdeeds, but to give him the friendship and protection which his tender years demand. Will ye accept him as your king?
And so Henry III was crowned King of England, the Earl of Pembroke being elected regent. Later, Hubert de Burgh occupied this position as well as that of justiciar. When Henry was old enough to rule by himself, he proved weak, untrustworthy, and extravagant. He gave much land and all the high positions to the foreign relations of his wife, Eleanor, and also plunged into another unsuccessful war with France. At last, the barons rose, and under the leadership of that great statesman and soldier, Simon de Montfort, drove the foreigners out of England. We now find Henry discussing plans for rebuilding Westminster Abbey with his wife, Eleanor.
But, Henry, why rebuild the Abbey? It has served all these years since it was erected by Edward the Confessor. Surely there are other matters of greater importance to claim your energies.
I want to build Westminster because the architecture displeases me. Think you not, Eleanor, that long pointed arches would be much more dignified than the present round arches employed by Edward?
I thought you were an ardent admirer of Edward, whose name our son bears.
Oh, I do admire Edward. He was a noble king and bore an honorable English name. But I do not admire his arches. Moreover, the edifice is crumbling, and in a few years will crash to the ground. But the Westminster Abbey, which I will build, will last forever. A perfect monument to my name.
Good government, less extravagance, and the gift of peace to our people would be a still more perfect monument to your name, Henry.
Oh, my people are contented enough.
Oh, fool, fool, to blind yourself to the truth. Even now, Simon de Montfort is enjoining your barons and your people to rise against you and fight for their rights.
Would that I were an humble charcoal burner. Then would I know peace.
Father, father.
Well, speech with thee. Is there any good reason why you must bellow like a mad bull when you enter my apartment,
my
son?
What is it, Edward?
The barons, with Simon de Montfort at their head, had risen and are marching upon Lewis. And by my faith, if I were not a loyal son who loved his father, I would join their banner. But I fight the cause of liberty and rights.
De Montfort, the rebel dog?
Nay, father, he is no rebel dog, but one of the greatest statesmen England has ever known. And the people love him because he stands for justice and good government. But enough of this. We waste time. We are to prevent de Montfort from taking Lewis. We must march at sunset. I go now to marshal our troops.
The king was defeated at Lewis and taken prisoner with Prince Edward. Later, Simon de Montfort summoned his celebrated parliament, at which, for the first time, the people were given the privilege of electing their own men to represent them. Later, Edward escaped from prison and defeated de Montfort at the Battle of Evesham, and the king's authority was restored, a state which existed until he died in 1272. We now find Henry and Eleanor bidding farewell to Edward, who is setting out on a crusade to the Holy Land.
Farewell, my son. God bless you and keep you always.
Thank you, Mother.
Edward, I am an old man. My cursed ministers with their charters and their parliaments will rule me instead of my ruling them when you are gone. I am sore perplexed, and I fear me I know not what to do.
Keep close, my father. The English were once despised as dogs, but now they have lifted up their heads, and their foes are vanquished, and at last England breathes the glorious air of freedom. And you love your people, my father. Do nothing that will destroy their liberty and their freedom, which is their rightful heritage.
Keep troth, you say?
Yes, my father. Keep troth. Let that be your motto, as it is mine.